I think we're lucky that today we have this incredible ability to create amazing visual effects, which 20, 30 years ago when the book first came out, you know, visual effects was not at the level that it is now. So we're kind of at that place where we can literally imagine the battle room, for example, in this huge glass sphere where kids fly around in zero gravity playing this amazing game, and you're seeing the stars and light coming across and from the earth, and the earth blue and beautiful below you, and render it in a truly photorealistic way.
If we're going to survive, we need a new kind of soldier. One who doesn't think the way we think.
I understand from some of the people who have visited the set that was outside New Orleans that actually it was huge and it felt like it was a military base. So you did go to some big lengths.
Oh, big lengths. Well, here's the thing. Wherever you can, you want to build physical sets. Why? Because there's nothing like it for an actor. There's nothing better for an actor than actually being able to walk around, touch, feel, be in that environment. The more you move towards a plain green screen environment, the more the actor has to go, what am I seeing? And so their mind is, whereas you, if you're tangibly, physically seeing and touching and feeling what it is you're doing, it's easier for an actor to focus on the emotional work with the other actor. But when you're saying, all right, now you're talking about screen, but over here is a giant spaceship. Look, whoopee, yeah, it's a big boom, big explosion. Well, how big is the explosion? Huge explosion, massive, bang, no, it's bigger than that. Look at me, wah! And you're doing all this nutty stuff. I mean, you should have seen me running around like a crazy person with these children. Over here, boom, no, on that side, bang. Oh, Petra, no, your eye line's looking the wrong way. You both want to look here. It looks like you're looking at different things. It was horrendous. But you do have to have those visuals very clearly in your mind so that you do get the footage of your actors that will match the emotion that you're trying to generate from a scene that, frankly, they're not seeing.
Ender, if you come with me, you won't be back here for a long time.
Even down to like 3D printers being used now. We've only recently heard about these, but I understand some of the props were using that technology already.
Yeah, well, our props guys built some of the props of the alien spaceships that Ender has as models in his room. Just little things that you may even miss. I mean, there's one beautiful shot of this mobile that he's made of the alien mothership and Maser Rackham's plane famously coming up to destroy it from below. And he's built this, but he's built this using a 3D thing. So he's designed it and he's programmed it, and then he's pressed print. And it's incredible that these machines actually exist. I mean, I watched this, I said, wow, that's amazing.
When you're looking at a sci-fi movie, clearly everyone who goes along to see these movies are wanting bigger, better, different effects.
Oh, we give them that.
Clearly, for you as a director, is that something that you know you've got to do, but at the same time, you want to make sure it's there for the right reason?
That's, again, perfectly put. We've all seen great visual effects, and they look great in trailers. And when you go to the movie for 2 hours, visual effects only sustain you so far. At some point, you want a story. You want characters. Others go, what is this? We're blasé. We've seen it all. So you're right. You have to use the visual effects to package, if you like, to set a context for what is still a great story with great characters. And there are two things. There's the battle room, which we've described and talked about a little bit, in the big glass sphere, which had to be magnificent. And then there's the simulated computer game battle that takes place in the third act, which actually has to be better than what you've done before for your audience. And for me, that was interesting because in the book, he plays it on a computer. I was like, oh my God, what do? I got a character sitting at a computer playing a computer game. So I'm with my kids at the planetarium one day, and I'm sitting there because my kids love space and stars. We go to the planetarium in Griffith Park in Los Angeles, and we sit down, and here's this huge projector, you know, that's projecting these stars in 360 degrees all around me in this huge dome. And I think, aha, a computer game set in this environment where you stand in the middle and you can manipulate things all around you. Forget about iPad little moves. What if I use my hands to move the whole world around me as a sort of virtual world? And I then was at a concert at the Disney Concert Hall watching a conductor, and he's standing in one place, but his arms are and he's conducting this orchestra around him. And those were the two sort of real world, if you like, inspirations for what has become this big simulation room where Ender stands in the center of this giant space, and literally as the game fires up, spaceships are moving past him, and they are completely photoreal because the technology has already for us reached that place, at least for movies. So I'm very thrilled by the visual things that we achieved in the film, but more importantly, I still believe that what is important about this film is the relationships between the characters and the actors, and the rest is hopefully just magnificent packaging.